With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It is Friday, March 15th. Ooh, beware the Ides of March. All right, let's not go with misfortune and doom today. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. We're always delighted that you join us, and we thank you so much for that. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a holler. Go to JillOnMoney.com, click the Contact Us button, and let us know if you would be willing to come on the air. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. It comes out every Friday. Mark does a great job with that. And also, check out our YouTube show. It's called Jill on Money, powered by The Compound. All right, we're going to do some emails because they do seem to be piling up quite a bit. Let's start with Mary, who writes, I am a gray divorce statistic after 36 years of marriage. This is always weird to me. I am currently 62. As part of the settlement, I received 393 acres of farmland. The cropland rents out for approximately $48,000 a year. I just started taking Social Security, which is $863 a month. I only worked part-time off the farm, and my ex always espoused keeping income minimal, so the Social Security I receive off my own record is actually more than I would receive from half of his. That's always a little bit of a trap, I think, when people say, keep your income low because you don't want to pay taxes. Yeah, well, it impacts your Social Security benefit, so maybe not so much. Okay, Mary goes on to write, I have all of my estate documents. I have $60,000 in a high-yield savings account, $258,000 in laddered CDs. I own my own home, no mortgage, and it is valued at approximately $245,000. I pay off my credit cards each month. No other loans or debts. If I would sell my land, I would pay close to, oh my God, $900,000 in federal and state taxes because the value of the land is about $3.9 million. Oh my God. That is a big whopping tax that's due. All right, Mary goes on to say, my desire was to pass the land to my kids at my death, so they would get the bump up in valuation with no tax, meaning that if Mary were to die, the land gets a step up in cost basis. It is tight living off the rent and then some interest, but at times I wonder if it makes more sense to sell the land now and then invest the money. I am a very conservative investor. What do you think is my best avenue? I hate the idea that at 62, you are feeling tight, especially when you have a $4 million asset. So let's just look at this. You sell the land at 3.9, you pay 900,000, you have $3 million, right? I have to believe that we're going to do better than $48,000 a year on your $3 million. I do. I think you could at least do twice that. So I am much more inclined for you to sell it, pay the tax, and invest it. And if you need the money, great. And if you don't need the money, the kids will get the investments. And also, by the way, the tax situation today, tax rates are lower. We don't know where they're going to be in the future. So I know you'd like to help your kids, but I want to help you. It may seem awful to pay all that tax, but it may seem less awful when you think, well, I'll have $3 million that will spin off probably $90,000 or $100,000 a year. So I hope that helps, and do give us a holler if you need some more information. Okay, Kari says, you guys are the best. I'm hoping you can help me with the age-old Roth versus traditional 401k question. Kari does add, I may know where Mark stands on this. Kari is 43 and wife is going to be 50 this year, no kids. They have $420,000 combined. They've got retirement assets of $780,000, about $160,000 Roth, $480,000 pre-tax. There's an HSA of $23,000. There is a brokerage account of $20,000. They're adding $5,000 or $6,000 a month, and there's cash of $100,000. We are both currently maxing out Roth 401ks, but we are considering a move, and this would be for me only, from a Roth to a traditional 401k. Curious what you think of the idea. My wife would continue to max out the Roth 401k, including catch-up. All right, now let's get into the why. The main reason I'm considering the move is so we can continue to build our brokerage account, which will serve as our bridge between when we decide to leave higher-paying positions to moving to lower-paying, less stressful jobs. The way I see it is that our money, especially my 401k, I'm 6 years younger than my wife, will have many years to grow before we begin to take distributions. So, if the primary goal is to move to less stressful jobs and the money in the 401k has the time to grow, likely more than we need anyway, would our money best be used in the brokerage now rather than growing in the Roth 401k in order to accomplish the more pressing goal of moving part-time or less stressful? Or do I just continue to throw everything into the Roth, grow my brokerage at $60,000 to $70,000 a year? P.S. We totally realize how lucky we are to be contemplating this scenario. Also, just signed up for the Jill on Money live service. Mark, you deserve your bonus. I like that. Well, I think in the hierarchy of what you are attempting to do, it does appear that building up that brokerage account could be really good. And I understand what you mean, that you would have free cash flow to do it. And by using a pre-tax 401k, that will give you more money to continue to fund the brokerage account. Of course, some of this is based on timing, because you didn't mention when you would like to move to lower paying, less stressful jobs. So maybe if we're talking about 10 years from now, that might be more money than you need for your brokerage. If it's 5 years, we'd have to see. But you hear me talk to people all the time about this off-ramp idea or a reset idea. And I think that the most important thing you can do is look at the numbers and see just how much money you will be making in the future, you know, eyeball it, guess, whatever, and then work backwards. Maybe you don't need $600,000, $700,000 that's saved in a brokerage account. Maybe that, you know, you could have a few hundred thousand and that would be fine. And also, maybe when you hit 59 and a half, one of the things that you could do is start taking money out of your wife's account at that time to help fund your cash flow needs. So there's a lot of different ways to get to the end game that you so desire. Happy to talk to you, and thank you so much for signing up for Jill on Money Live. Okay, Dev writes, my 64-year-old brother is decently employed. I don't know what that means, but that's a good line. But has a spouse who is unable to work due to a serious health condition. She has no assets of her own apart from my brother. He's also supporting his wife's elderly, low-income mother in a developing country. Ay, ay. To provide him with relief and help him achieve retirement by age 70, I'm considering paying off his debts. He has $70,000 remaining on his mortgage at 4.75%. He's got $18,000 at 2% interest for a replacement furnace air conditioner unit. He will have Social Security and an inflation-adjusted state pension. Not sure of the amounts, but estimating a combined $90,000 to $100,000 per year at age 70, which is pretty close to what he's earning now. He currently has about $400,000 in a work retirement plan that he contributes to regularly and another $230,000 in non-retirement savings. So here's the question from Dev. Can I afford to pay off his debts, or am I going too far? I'm aware of the IRS annual and lifetime gift limits, and I know I would need to consult a tax advisor. Okay, here's Dev's details. I'm 65, single, recently retired. I have about $1.2 million in retirement savings, some Roth, but mostly pre-tax. I have another $740,000 in non-retirement brokerage, high-yield savings, I-bonds, CDs, money market accounts, treasuries, and checking accounts. My gosh. I have no debts. I need about $60,000 a year after tax to live on. At age 70, I will begin collecting Social Security estimated at $52,000 per year and an inflation-adjusted lifetime pension of $93,000 per year. I can wait up until age 72 for a pension of about $121,000. I'm self-insuring for potential long-term care needs. Well, you got a boatload of money, Dev. I mean, I think that you could totally do this. But one thing to consider is the following, without having to get involved with lifetime gifts and all this limit stuff. First of all, you have to talk to your sibling and make sure that he is on board with this. I think the number one suggestion would be is that you don't have to do this all at once, right? He's 64. So what you could do is you could make a gift to him, either directly to him and or to his wife. So you could do both. And you could stay within the gift tax limit. I think that if you were doing this all at once, it would, I don't know, feel a little bit strange to me. So let's talk about a more graduated strategy. Right now, you can gift up to $18,000 a year to any individual and not have to file any gift tax returns. So that means for you, you could do $18,000 to your brother, $18,000 to your sister-in-law, and they could then use that to pay down the mortgage. And then they could do that maybe over the next few years and the mortgage would be done. I think that might be a better way for you to manage it than trying to do it all at once. It'll make it easy for him to achieve his retirement by age 70. You can just be there and say, I'm just doing it, you know, it's like gifting to somebody and giving him a way to breathe a little bit and maybe get himself set for retirement. So I hope that helps. This is from Julie, who writes, I heard about you from my mom, who is a big fan of the show, and I would appreciate your advice. I think I'm in good shape for someone just starting out, but I find investing intimidating, and I'm not sure how I should be splitting up my money and planning for the near and distant future at the same time. I hope this isn't too basic for the program. There is nothing too basic for the program. Thank you, Julie. Here we go. Julie graduated with a bachelor's degree last May, no student debt. Academic scholarship for State University, parents paid room and board, and I worked all 4 years on campus for spending money. I love Julie. Yay, Julie. Julie earns $46,000, although she says, I'm already looking for a higher paying position. I contribute 8% to a 401k, and the company matches up to 6%, or I'm not sure they might match fully up to 6%. I'm not sure which way. She just said company pays in 6%. 401k balance, about $3,000, Roth 401k at Fidelity in a target date fund. Checking balance, $2,500, which is the average balance to pay my bills. I also have a high yield savings account, $27,000, general savings, emergency fund for 6 months of expenses. Side note, my grandparents put money aside since I was born. And instead of sending big presents for birthdays and holidays, they surprised me with a $17,000 gift after I graduated from college. Yes, I am grateful. I saved the rest myself and I continue to transfer $600 to $800 each month after paying my bills. Leftover 529 money, $13,500. My parents said we could move some of the money to start a Roth IRA for me and we're looking into that. I do not plan to go back to school for more education at this time. Okay, monthly expenses, $1,600 a month. That's great. I'm driving a 10-year-old car, no loan. It works fine. I plan to drive it as long as possible, but I probably need to put aside extra money for when I need to buy another car. I'm considering moving from our lower cost of living state to a higher cost of living state, maybe Boston or New York, for the experience and to expand job opportunities. I don't have any firm plans yet, but I may do so in 1 to 2 years. Or are you going to tell me to stay in a lower cost of living area? No, move to New York. We need as many people as possible. We'd love to have you. Come. Okay, here are the questions. What general financial advice do you have for people just getting started career-wise? You're doing everything you should be doing. Absolutely, you're doing great. I think the only thing that I might look at is, you know, once you kind of, you're saving money for the car, which is great, and you should do that in the high yield savings account. But you know, if you can afford to put $600 or $800, I might want to up my contribution level to the Roth 401k. That's the only thing that I would say, that maybe you do 10% this year, see how that leaves your cash flow. And if you can do 10, 12, we'd love to get you up to, say, 15% in the Roth. That might be great. And you should use the high yield savings account for the future car and a potential move. But I don't want to actually, I really want to be clear that I don't want you to put so much money into the 401k that you're not saving enough for this potential move, which could be pretty steep, you know? Next question. Should I put extra money into a brokerage account instead of the high yield savings account, or increasing my contribution? So I'm going to say no to the brokerage, but maybe put another 2% in the 401k and everything else in the high yield savings account, just in case, you know, you think like, oh, I'm missing out on the market. You're doing a little bit of both. You're putting money in the 401k. The target date fund will be fine for you. It's great. Okay, let's get to the 529 to the Roth IRA rules. First of all, the plan has to be open for more than 15 years. So you may not be there yet. I just want to be clear. You may not actually be able to do this yet. But let's pretend once it's 15 years, what you can do is you can put whatever the limit is at that time of a Roth IRA contribution from the 529 into a Roth. So, you know, if it were this year, then you would say, oh, okay, the plan's been open. Again, pretend that we have been open for 15 years. And you say, okay, I've got this old 529. I'm not going to use it for anything. And you could put $7,000. That's the maximum contribution that is allowable under the Roth IRA rules right now, in from the 529 to the Roth. And you can do that every year until you soak up all the money and it is all in the Roth IRA. Because I'm not sure if your plan has been actually open for 15 years or not, we may be jumping the gun, but at least you have the information. And the last question is, does anything else come to mind when you consider my situation? No, you're kicking ass. You're doing great. Way to go, Julie. And give us a holler if you want to come on and talk about things or anything big that's going on, or you want us to sell you on the idea of moving to New York, because Mark and I are very good salespeople when it comes to that. Okay, this is the last one. This is from Chris, who writes, longtime listener since before the pandemic. Over the years, you have referred to money that has been taxed, and this makes perfect sense. Recently, you have had a number of callers with hundreds of thousands of dollars in Roth, and you still exhort them to have more money that has been taxed. Roth money, by definition, has already been taxed. Seems inconsistent. It seems to me that what you want is some diversity. It seems to me that financial planners see the Roth as a one-way street, only in. I never hear you talk about using the Roth money as a tool to solve a problem. Please discuss. Yes, my estate planning is done. Okay, Chris, I think that part of the issue is that when I say that, it's often with people who are under the age of 59 and a half. And so that money, while it hasn't been taxed, we can't access it yet. And so sometimes what we'll say to people is, hey, you'd like to have money in a brokerage account, money that's already been taxed. And of course, you can pull money out of a Roth at any time. But often what we're trying to do is manage the liability, the tax liability of a pre-tax account, building up a bridge to get people maybe from slowing down or getting out of a job before age 55 or 50 in some cases, then getting them to 59 and a half. And of course, you can tap that Roth money. But just remember, the longer you leave the Roth money in there, the better and better it gets. And as long as you can look at that as the last money you'll tap, that to me is a beautiful thing. But, you know, I think that you're right. I will be more precise about saying we want different kinds of accounts in many respects. Often when I think we're talking about that with a lot of people, we have people who are not going to be able to afford to do a Roth conversion. We need to build up their liquidity. And yes, absolutely, I do believe you can pull money from a Roth account. It is often that very difficult thing for many people to do, which is pull money out of retirement. And you're right, we have to do a better job of encouraging people to do that. Okay, thank you. I love the feedback, so I appreciate that. All right, that is it. That is the program. Oh my goodness, it has gone by so quickly. By the way, if you have any questions, just go to jillonmoney.com. That is the website. Click the Contact Us button. Let us know if you'd like to come on the air. Don't forget that we have our next webinar coming up. It's with Cal Newport. It's on the 19th of this month, so just a few days away. You have to be part of Jill on Money Live to participate in that webinar, and it is going to be amazing. Tuesday, March 19th, 7 Eastern Time. It will cost you $35 to be part of Jill on Money Live. It's that webinar, three more, the webinars from last year, and some cool video content that we have behind our paywall. So check it out. It is Friday. Let's do some business. Our music is composed by Joel Goodman. Mark Talerce is the executive producer and king of all things web. We are distributed by Odyssey. If you'd like to subscribe to the show, you can do that on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. We encourage you to do something nice for someone else today. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.